This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. It's a lineupmedia.fm production brought to you this week and every week, of course, by lineupmedia.fm.
One too many lineup.fms, baby.
What are you going to do, man? You know? Hey, he'll piss you out.
What's up, man?
Nothing. We're back. We're here on a Sunday this week, and it's because it is Everett's birthday.
That's not why we're here, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah, we decided to have my birthday, the show on my birthday.
It's a birthday show. Reason. No, we didn't do that.
Because it's real convenient to have your show on your birthday.
No, I don't think so.
No, I had a little bit of a childcare issue yesterday. Wife had to work. Nobody to watch the kid on such short notice.
You could have picked me.
Like I said, nobody I could trust.
I don't say, how would we have done the show is what you were supposed to say if you were watching kids.
I'm not that logical.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What are we talking about today?
Today we were talking about the much-promised Vault 7 show. WikiLeaks release of basically the entirety of the CIA's hacking ability.
Yeah, so
they're called it Vault 7 Year Zero.
Now, do you remember when this first... The cryptic tweets first started coming out about
this. Sure, it was about a month and a half ago.
And they showed like the picture of the seed vault, and everybody was just real like wondering what in the fuck is Vault 7?
Is it aliens?
What is Vault 7? Vault 7 is going to be deep. It's going to be the, you know.
What were all the things that people thought Vault 7 was? I forget.
Oh, man. End of Times, Armageddon, there was all kinds of different shit they were saying.
WikiLeaks knows about the end of days.
Yes, they do.
No, it just turned out to be basically a complete dump of all the CIA's hacking abilities.
CIA hacking tools. That's it. Show over.
Show over.
Never mind.
So let's hop right into it.
Hop right into what?
Well, what is Vault 7?
What is Vault 7?
Well, right from the, as we do the show today, here's how we decided to do it. Let's go back just one more time. We have the official press release from WikiLeaks that we're just going to step by step through. We're going to go through basically half of this whole press release, item by item.
Item by item.
And discuss it. And we're going to split the show up into two. Next week, we're going to finish this up. Like I said, it's my birthday, so I don't really have the time tonight to do the entirety of the release. So we're not.
Oh yeah, I'm
simple as that. Anyway, here it is from the horse's mouth. Today, Tuesday, March 7, 2017, WikiLeaks begins its new series of leaks on the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, codenamed Vault 7 by WikiLeaks. It is the largest ever publication of confidential documents on the agency.
Now, is it just the largest ever publication on CIA or on confidential documents?
It is the largest ever publication of confidential documents on the agency, being CIA.
Okay.
I don't think it's the largest ever dump of documents.
Now, I needed you to define year zero for me. So can you define what year zero means? Because for...
It's a play. It's a play on like day zero. Which are exploits.
Okay.
So a day zero exploit, it's any number of exploits that are defined by the amount of days they've been in the public. Like the public knows about these exploits.
Okay.
So a 0 day exploit has been in the public knowledge for 0 days. And as we go through this, we'll show how the CIA had access to dozens or perhaps hundreds of these 0 day exploits that they had refused, or not really refused, but did not disclose to the vendors who made these programs or this hardware that they had these vulnerabilities, these back doors, whatever you want to call it. Oops, I have sound on my laptop. And let's keep going here. The first full part of the series, Year Zero, which is what we're going to be talking about today and next week.
Yes.
Comprises 8,761 documents and files from an isolated high-security network situated inside the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence in Langley, Virginia. It follows an introductory disclosure last month of the CIA targeting the French political parties and candidates in the lead-up to the 2012 presidential election.
Wait a minute,
did you hear about that?
So wait a minute. So you mean we were actually interfering in other people's elections, unlike us?
That is exactly what happened.
Fucking Russia.
That's exactly apparently what happened. We got in and fucked with the French election to set up what we needed, you know, for our policies.
Yeah, I mean, we installed, you know, puppet dictators, so that's what we do.
Well, I mean, that's a hell
I mean,
of a,
I don't know who the, you know, I'm just
that's
saying.
That's a hell of a statement.
Right.
All right, further, it goes on. Recently, the CIA lost control of the majority of its hacking arsenal, including malware. Are you familiar with what malware is?
No, can you please explain that?
Malware, malicious software.
Okay.
So put those two words together, malicious software.
Okay.
It's any number of ways to either trick you into thinking you have, like, a virus to sell you something, or actually even a virus. Backdoors, Trojans. It's a blanket term for that sort of thing.
So let me get this straight. The CIA got hacked for all their hacking tools.
That's not what they're saying happened.
Okay, so what happened?
So the CIA apparently employs a shit ton of
freelance
hackers, for lack of a better term, I guess. Subcontractors, if you will.
Subcontracted hackers.
And apparently for a while now, the entirety of the CIA's hacking thing has been just floating around those, you know, third-party developers.
Yeah, I read since the end of 2016, it had been...
Right, that they knew that
they
all
knew
their stuff was in the wild.
Everything was out there.
That should have been the time to come up and say, hey, all of our vulnerabilities, it is like basically everything in the world, you know, you want to hack into, it's out there. And if you know what to look for and you know how to read it, you got the power.
That's just, that's crazy.
Right. So it includes malware, viruses, Trojans. Trojans are basically a virus that is like a Trojan horse. Like, remember Trojan War? They got
Trojan horse. Yeah.
It's a way to sneak a back door into your system.
Uh-huh.
Weaponized zero-day exploits. We talked about what a zero-day is. Malware, remote control systems, and associated documentation. This extraordinary collection, which amounts to more than several hundred million lines of code, Jesus, gives its processor the entire hacking capacity of the CIA. The archive appears to have been circulated among former U.S. government hackers and contractors in an unauthorized manner, one of whom provided WikiLeaks with portions of the archive. So it's not even all of it was given to WikiLeaks, apparently.
Wow. And this is only 1%.
Is that what they're saying?
This dump of 8,761 documents or files and or files is 1% of what they have and of what they're going to release.
Damn.
Yeah, on just this. So this is just 1% of the...
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Year Zero introduces the scope and direction of the CIA's global covert hacking program. Its malware arsenal and dozens of zero-day weaponized exploits against a wide range of U.S. and European company products includes Apple's iPhone, Google's Android, and Microsoft Windows, and even Samsung TVs, which are turned into covert microphones.
This shit's just creepy, man.
Since 2001, the CIA has gained political and budgetary preeminence over the U.S. National Security Agency. The CIA found itself building not just its now infamous drone fleet, but a very different type of covert global spanning force. It's owed substantial fleet of hackers. So we'll get to it, but we were talking about how Frankfurt, Germany, there's an embassy over there, a consulate, that's basically just a hub for hackers in Europe. They're all outfitted with diplomatic passports. They can go freely among any of the states over there. It's nuts. Anyway.
So do you think the CIA's hack force, is that to rival Anonymous?
You know, I was thinking about that today. I don't know. You got to figure there's some pretty elite fucks in Anonymous.
Right.
And
I would think CIA doesn't just let any old asshole in.
I'm sure that's who the CIA headhunts whenever they're looking for agents.
I bet people that are in Anonymous are like, I'm going to try to get in the CIA, get to be a subcontractor in there.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. That's just the type of thing, like I was telling you earlier today, is I've been in computers and interested in this type of shit for years. And one thing that is common among all of, quote unquote, our kind, is curiosity and the need to dig. It's not really for what's in there generally, at least it isn't for me. It's just seeing if I could get there.
Kind of like a meth head picking at the scabs.
Yeah, you can't let it go.
You got to have the need to dig, man.
Oh, wow. Wow, I guess. Yeah, just like that.
I mean, that's pretty much what we're talking about.
You hit the nail on the head there. Any which way. Wow, you cut my whole line of thought there.
I stopped him dead in his tracks.
That was bad.
With that one, folks. I stopped him dead.
All right, let's just go back into the to the text on the page here. Year Zero introduces the scope and direction of the CIA's global... Did I already read this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
You're already on the next paragraph and then the one after that.
By the end of 2016, the CIA's hacking division, which formerly falls under the agency's Center for Cyber Intelligence, had over 5,000 registered users and had produced more than 1,000 hacking systems, trojans, viruses, and other weaponized malware.
What can their official reason be for having 5,000 hackers in your Center for Cyber Intelligence? What, I mean, what would we need that for? Are we under that
I
much?
I love that.
No, okay, but are we under like that much bombardment from foreign hackers that we would need
defense.
That?
Think about our defense budget, how large that is. America tends to kind of shoot for the moon
nothing
in this sort of situation, right?
Nothing beats excess like excess.
The Grateful Dead said it, too much of everything is just enough. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it applies here.
Yeah, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
That's the Beatles, but close enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Let it be. You want to let it be and just let it go?
No.
It doesn't really apply.
I thought it was good.
Such is the scale of the CIA's undertaking and by the... Such is the scale of the CIA's undertaking that by 2016, its hackers had utilized more code than that used to run Facebook. That's pretty impressive.
Fuck Facebook.
Facebook's pretty big, man.
Yeah.
They've written that much code for the purpose of infiltration. Think about how many lines of code it's got to take to make sure that the algorithms that make your news feed show up, to suggest your friends, to sell you shit. There's right. All the ads. Think about how much code that is, and it's dwarfed by the millions and millions, hundreds of millions of lines of code done by them.
That's crazy.
The army of people it takes to write that amount of code is nuts.
But, I mean, why
thousands.
We're on...
Like it says right there, 5,000 registered users.
So, like, well, while we're on the subject, though, CIA is... Or Facebook is just as much a fucking...
Data collection,
it's spying device
well, same
as...
Google.
As I mean,
same
right.
as Google. They're in the business of data collection, which is why they're targets themselves of this, of the CIA. The CIA, why do all the work whenever Google and Facebook
are doing it for
and
them.
Apple and Samsung and all these companies have already created the systems that we just got to piggyback onto to steal whatever secrets we want, foreign or, in most cases now we're hearing, domestic.
Yeah.
Anyway, a little hot there, my bad. Such is the scale. The CIA had created, in effect, its own NSA with even less accountability and without publicly answering the question as to whether such a massive budgetary spend on duplicating the capacities of a rival agency could be justified.
Well, that's what I was saying. Is this justified? Do that we need to pay?
We're doubling up on the NSA. There's a sub-NSA in the CIA that does the same thing as the NSA, but with less oversight.
So we need two NSAs.
That's the gripe here by WikiLeaks, anyway.
Right. Well, that's fucking stupid.
In a statement to WikiLeaks, the source details policy questions that they say urgently need to be debated in public, including whether the CIA's hacking capabilities exceed its mandated powers and the problem of public oversight to the agency. The source wishes to initiate a public debate about the security creation, use, proliferation, and democratic control of cyber weapons. Okay, once a single cyber weapon is loosed, it can spread around the world in seconds to be used by rival states, cyber media, and teenage hackers alike. That's okay. A good point.
So now that all this shit's out...
It can be used by anybody.
Okay, so in the leak, though, they just told us about it, or they
and
actually give you the download for the malware?
No, WikiLeaks redacted shit tons.
So that you can't do this.
Right, they didn't want to be like, hey, here's all the exploits that exist and how to exploit them.
And how to do it, yeah.
Step A, step 2,
right.
Step R, that sort of thing. Okay, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks editor, stated that this is an extreme... I wanted to go back real quick. Whenever I was 15, 16 years old, there was a popular Trojan in the hacker circles. And again, this is 20 years ago. I'm showing my age, called NetBus. Do you remember that at all?
Kind of.
It was a two-part program. It had the server part and the client part. If you can gain access to a computer or otherwise get a person to run this executable file, it would infect their system with a backdoor. It was just a small program that would run without any kind of thing showing that it's running. And if I knew their IP address, which was easy to get people to give you, or if you used ICQ back in the day, it was automatically, you just right-click, get IP address. You would pump that into the client program, which was basically a control program that gave me complete ability over the screen. I could take a screenshot of their screen.
I had remote access to the computer.
I had complete access and control. I could open up their web browser, go to any website. I can open their CD-ROM. I could play a music file remotely. Whatever you want. And that was 20 years ago. Windows 95, Windows 98 era.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, and I think 20 years from now, the CIA has got to be 1,000 times better than what some people put together back in the 90s. Going on, WikiLeaks has carefully reviewed the zero-year disclosure and published a substantive CIA documentation while avoiding the distribution of armed cyber weapons until a consensus emerges on the tactical and political nature of the CIA's program and how such weapons should be analyzed, disarmed, and published. That right there.
Slow down.
What, you're not keeping up with me?
I'm keeping up with you just fine, but you sound like this. People that are trying to learn this shit.
We got a lot to get to. Well, what that basically is saying that WikiLeaks held stuff back, and they want to find out what's dangerous. So they're not, you know, they're not giving it out. That's what you just said before. They were redacting things.
Right.
Weak Eagle Geeks has also decided to redact and anonymize some identifying information in Zero Year for in-depth analysis. These redactions include tens of thousands of CIA targets and attack machines throughout Latin America, Europe, and United States. Is that better?
Oh, yeah.
Would you like me to read it, Michaelius?
No, I don't think so.
While we are aware of the imperfect results of any approach chosen, we remain committed to our publishing model and note that the quantity of published pages in Vault 7, Part 1, a.k.a. Year Zero, already eclipses the total number of pages published over the first 3 years of the Edward Snowden NSA leaks.
Okay, so this is bigger than the Snowden leaks.
It eclipses
just more documents.
3 years of Snowden leaks in the first part of it.
Yeah, and this is only 1%, like I said before.
Well, I don't know where you got that number, but there's all kinds of shit floating around. So
it's 1%.
I don't know enough to say you're wrong.
Yep.
Right, here comes the fun part. All that shit we just read was the intro to Vault 7. This is the analysis by WikiLeaks.
This is what they think's going on.
Right, and you can go on WikiLeaks yourself and get the complete annotated version of this. There's stuff that I'm getting ready to read has links throughout it to the actual documents that were leaked. We don't have the time to go into every little blue link on this page, but there are thousands of links here. So the first part of the analysis is titled CIA malware targets iPhone, Android, and smart TVs.
It definitely does.
Android.
No, hang on. Now I got something wrote down here. So they've compromised the Android smartphones. A third of their malwares or viruses or whatever. They have Pokemon code names. Did you know that?
Yeah, I thought
that
was funny.
Yeah,
that shows you the age. Basically, they're the generation right after us because we miss Pokemon.
Yeah, so these are like 25, 26 year old hackers. So
apparently, there's a Pikachu virus. I don't know.
Well, there's a Doug Trio and a Stefani. No,
God, you're murdering.
I don't do Pokemon. Doug Trio and there. Anyways, those are allowed access to any device running Android 4.0 to 4.3. So if you're
that's old by now, but
yeah, I don't know what exactly Android operating system
your phone.
Mine
let's
is.
Find out. Let's see how vulnerable Eric is here.
Okay, so how about
I need your pin. Why don't you tell me live on the air?
3579. No, wait, 9753. I'm a creature of habit.
Let's see. Did that work?
9753.
Oh, I gotta hit okay after that?
Yeah, you have to hit okay. Yeah, he's not too good at pressing buttons, ladies and gentlemen.
Shut up. Okay. Hey, I don't know how to work these droids.
But anyway, so the Spiro, I guess this is a malware. That's just the name of it. That's another fucking Pokemon name. It's for the interception of private data through a remote information leak. Now, what exactly is a remote information leak? Is that kind of what you were talking about with that net thing you were saying?
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Okay,
it's an exploitable system that has a way to get into it.
So that's what this one's for. They can intercept your private data through a remote information leak. Now, so the Android hack data is all the way back from 2013. Google stated that many of these holes have already been patched. But you know they said many and noticed that they didn't say all.
Right.
Google's official word was that many of these holes have already been patched. Now, these are the exploits that we're talking about.
Right. They found them independently of the CIA going, hey, you got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. No, see, I didn't tell them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they said that many of these have already been patched or whatever. So
sure. All right, moving on.
But hundreds of millions of devices may still be at risk. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, like your smart refrigerator.
I don't have a smart refrigerator.
No. Well, if you had a smart refrigerator that listened to you, you'd be at risk. Anyway, okay, so CIA malware and hacking tools are built by EDG, the Engineering Development Group, a software development group within CCI, the Center for Cyber Intelligence, which is part of the CIA.
Uh-huh.
A lot of three-letter acronyms, huh?
Yeah.
A department belonging to the... Oh, did you say that T-shirt, by the way, earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
CIA, NSA, WTF.
Yep. Anyway, CIA... Okay. The DDI is one of the five major directorates of the CIA. See this organizational chart. Okay, that's not a link I'm reading. I'm reading a link out loud.
Forward, backspace, colon. What the fuck?
It's not working whenever I speak the link.
Right.
The EDG is responsible for the development, testing, and operational support of all backdoors, exploits, malicious payloads, okay, blah, 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 blah. The EDG makes all the code. The increasing sophistication of the surveillance techniques is drawing comparisons with George Orwell's 1984. But Weeping Angel, developed by the CIA's EDB, which infests smart TVs, transforming them into covert microphones, is surely the most emblematic realization. Yes. So are you aware of a Weeping Angel?
Yeah, so what Weeping Angel does is it gives the CIA the ability to turn the voice control microphone of any Samsung smart TV into, like you just said, a covert listening device.
Right, so some TVs out there are similar to how Xboxes or other things where you can just talk to them.
Yeah.
And give a device. Turn to Channel 7.
I checked mine. I don't have that. I have a Samsung smart TV, but I don't have the voice recognition. Yeah. But they even said, so I read, because like I was trying to find out what models were...
Or specifically vulnerable?
Yeah, hang on, I've got it right here. Just give me one sec. Let me find it.
I'm not going to do that.
Son,
it doesn't
of
matter
a bitch.
if you've got a microphone on
but
your TV.
But anyways, there's a microphone in the remote to these TVs as well.
Yeah, a lot of them, like Fire Stick, yeah. Or the Fire remotes have it. Some of the Rokus have that. I'm not saying they're specifically vulnerable, but I wouldn't say they're not.
Right. Man, I did have that. There.
Long story
like,
short,
like
Weeping
the
Angel
N8000 or something.
Weeping
like
Angel
that.
Has the ability to create what's called a false off state, where it will not turn the LED on your TV on to make it seem like your TV's on. It will keep the screen off, make the LED illuminate like red, make it seem like your TV's still off.
Seem like your TV's still
but
off,
your microphone
yeah.
is on and transmitting. The caveat to this problem for them, though, is that they have to have had physical access to the television to introduce the virus via USB or some other means.
But also in the Vault 7 leaks, it says that they would totally intercept before
right.
delivery. There's multiple ways.
They'll put a guy in an Amazon.
Yeah.
It's not in the thing, but I got to figure. They'll put a guy in an Amazon.
They'll do whatever they got
to
do.
We'll do a quick test on this TV to make sure it works, quote unquote.
Quality control.
Yeah, QC.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Says the attack against Samsung smart TVs was developed in cooperation with the UK's MI5. That's James Bond's organization, by the way.
MI5?
Well, MI6, but... After infesting, Weeping Angel places the target TV in a fake-off mode so that the owner falsely believes the TV is off when it isn't on. In fake-off mode, the TV operates as a bug, recording conversations in the room and sending them over the internet to a covert CIA server.
Did you see that message that we got on Facebook from Cory Berger, I believe it was, showing that his phone randomly records?
Yeah, it was like 15-minute segments and shit.
He had ones that were a couple hours, and he doesn't know. And that's why I told him, I said, you need to try to cover all bases.
He said his phone was filling up on him. He didn't know why, right?
Yeah. So I asked him, I said, well, you check the time. See if you can tell if it's like the same time every day. Maybe you go on break at work and hit a record button on your phone on accident. He's like, no, there's totally no rhyme or reason as to when it does it. There's no correlation, like, time, date, nothing. In the morning, in the afternoon, when he's at work, when he's home, it just records whenever the fuck it wants. And he's got literally, he screenshotted two or three whole pages from his phone of just miscellaneous recordings, anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes up to a couple hours. And I asked him, I said, hey, can we use this for the show tomorrow? And he's like, totally. That's why I sent it to you.
Got Corey killed, probably. Ooh. The CIA now knows they're onto him.
Shit. Did I say Cory Berger? I meant...
Hamburger.
Hamburglar.
No, that'd be crazy, though.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it would be.
Well, what's that mean Corey's into? Why are they listening to him?
I don't know the guy personally.
He's not being completely honest with you, is he?
I don't know.
He could be into some deep shit.
All
right, let's move on here. This is a really interesting one here. As of October 2014, the CIA was also looking at and infecting the vehicle control systems used by modern cars and trucks. The purpose of such control is not specified, but it would permit the CIA to engage in nearly undetectable assassinations.
Okay, so let me stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot to say about, not a lot, but I've got quite a bit to say about Michael Hastings, and then I have a list of cars that are vulnerable to this, because it operates on the, hang on one sec, I had it right here, it's the operating system for the cars is called the QNX operating system, and I've got a total list of...
There's two OSs, actually.
Yeah, well, the other one did was vehicle car systems. It was targeting vehicle systems and QNX cars operating systems, so... Hmm. And then they're used by major auto manufacturers, both of them are. So why don't I just go ahead and start, like you were just saying, in 2013, the death of Rolling Stones writer Michael Hastings was suspicious, to say the least.
And this guy was looking into the CIA.
Yeah, no, that's totally what he was doing. He even told friends that he was onto a big CIA story requiring him to go off the radar. So, like, they wouldn't be able to talk to him for a while because he was onto this big CIA story that was going to require him to be off the radar. But he told them that before dying in a single car accident.
You know the details of this accident? Have you heard?
I have. I'm getting to that.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. In a single car accident. At the time, Hastings was being investigated by the FBI. I don't know whether that's here or there.
Yeah, whatever.
But also said that he feared his car had been tampered with. Witnesses said that his car was traveling at max speed, Now, I don't know what max speed that would be, but at max speed and shooting sparks.
Yeah, I figure every bit of 100 mile an hour.
Right, and shooting sparks and flames prior to hitting a tree.
That sounds like push the balls out to the wall button and target that tree over there to me.
Jesus, take the wheel. You know what I mean? At that point, you're saying, no, CIA, I didn't do it, CIA.
It's horrible, dude.
I didn't do it. You know, well, that's
you think they're on his OnStar going, you done fucked up, Michael?
Yeah, yeah. You totally did. Yeah, you
it's something out of
now,
it's like something out of one of the Friday the 13th movies where Freddy takes over the car, buckles you in, starts laughing real loud over the radio, and crashes you into a tree.
Yeah, and it becomes all weird, like he's got his hands on the hood and shit.
You know, it grows into your hands and makes you hold your hand on the wheel. It's a nightmare.
Okay, so you ready for the list of cars?
Give me.
Okay, so I've got some makes, or no, I'm sorry, some models, but mostly just the makes. So I got Audis, totally compromised. Bentley Continentals.
Audis overall?
That's what I said. That's what I read. Audis.
Fair enough.
Bentley Continental.
Sources? Internet.
No, I had a source, but
it's on the internet. It's true. Yeah, carry on.
BMWs, Buicks, Maseratis.
Buicks, just Buicks?
Buicks, GMs, Jaguars, Benz.
Buicks are GMs.
Yeah, the S-Class Coupe for Benz. I would know. I've never owned a Benz. Land Rovers.
I own three Benzes, and they're nice. Anyway.
I'm trying to remember. No, it was, I think it was Wikipedia where I got this list at, though. I can't remember. Anyways, so Ford has the Escape and the Fiesta. Those are both completely used.
Don't buy those if you want to live, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Any car with Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, totally compromised. Kias. You ever heard of Kia?
Yeah, Kia Sophia. Yeah.
Jeep Wranglers, Porsche 911s, Toyotas. Volkswagen has the Passat.
So virtually something from every major manufacturer and some that aren't so major.
Volkswagen has the Passat, the Polo, the Golf, and the Golf GTI, which are all compromised. Oh, and here it is, the F8000 series for your Samsung Smart TV.
I wonder how many F-15 Hornets. Oh, those are airplanes.
I wonder if they could do shit like that,
You know what? I bet they have access to all the airplanes and shit, too. They all have autopilot. Who's to say they didn't have autopilot on 9 and 11? Think about that, man.
Oh, remote airplanes.
We've just blown the roof off of
inside
it.
Inside job for sure. Shit.
Okay, we're being facetious here. Yes. There's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek here, but... All right, you done with your cars?
I am. I just want to give you that list there. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. It says, the CIA's mobile device branch, the MDB, developed numerous attacks to remotely hack and control popular smartphones. Infected phones can be instructed to send the CIA's user's geolocation, which is, you know, your latitude and longitude, audio and text communications, as well as covertly activate the phone's camera and microphone.
Fuck.
Despite iPhone's minority share of 14.5%, the global smartphone market in 2016, a specialized unit of the CIA's mobile development branch produces malware to infest, control, and exfiltrate data from iPhones and other Apple products running iOS, such as iPads. You know why that is?
Why?
And this is going to sound bad, but rich people mostly use the iProducts.
This is true.
And why not have, you know...
Android, iPhone.
I'm not... Why do you say I'm rich?
I'm not rich. Oh, because rich rhymes with bitch.
Fuck you. I got nothing,
huh?
All right, moving on. CIA's arsenal includes numerous local and remote zero days developed by CIA or obtained from GCHQ, NSA, FBI, are purchased from cyber arms contractors
such as
Bait Shop.
Oh, you can go get them at a bait and tackle?
I know that on the dark web, like on places like when it still existed, Silk Road, there were hackers for hire where you can go in and buy zero-day exploits, things like that. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Just as easy as you can go buy drugs on there or hire a hitman, you could buy hackers for hire.
That's crazy, man. That is just fucking crazy. Just fucking crazy.
The disproportionate focus on the iOS may be explained by the popularity of the iPhone among social, political, and diplomatic and business elites. Okay, that's exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
A similar unit targets Google's Android, which is used to run... God, I'm just all over the place.
You want me to take over here? Because you can't read today. A similar unit targets Google's...
Fuck you.
Son of
a bitch. I'm back on it. A similar unit targets Google's Android... which is used to run the majority of the world's smartphones, 85%, including Samsung, HTC, and Sony.
Really screwed the pooch on that one.
1.15 billion Android-powered phones were sold last year. That's like one for every six people in the world were sold last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Bought one of those phones.
Wow.
Let's see. Android-powered phone, okay. Year zero shows that as of 2016, the CIA had 24 weaponized Android zero days.
That means it has 24...
ways that nobody else knows about to break into your phone.
That no one else knows about.
Then nobody else.
Son of a bitch, man. Attained from GCHQ.
Well, now the whole world apparently knows.
Yeah, now everybody fucking knows.
These techniques permit the CIA to bypass the encryption of WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, Weibo, Confide, and Cloakman by hacking the smartphones that they run on and collecting audio and message traffic before encryption is applied. So these apps are like WhatsApp and Signal.
Yeah.
They're just instant message apps.
Yeah.
They've got really good encryption, though, so that whenever you send your message off from your phone, it gets keyed up, and it only is unkeyed at the other end. So if you send the letter R, it might send 2,000 randomized characters, what looks like randomized characters of encrypted text. On the
right.
other end, it knows how to encode that.
Yeah, okay, and it'll
so
just come across as R
doing,
on the other end.
Rather than fucking trying to decrypt that, it just breaks into the phone and screenshots what you're typing, or just watches what you're typing rather than decode it. It gets it before it's encrypted.
Dude, that's fucked.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but that's fucked.
It is. Okay, the next section is called CIA Malware Targets Windows, OS X, Linux, and Routers. The CIA also...
What's OS X?
OS X is what all Macs run.
Macs.
OS X. Mac OS X 10, like Sierra, Mountain Lion.
So that computer right there and this computer right here
run OS X. They both run OS X.
They don't run iOS?
No. iOS is only for...
phones.
Phones, iPads, and Apple TVs run a version of iOS, too.
Oh, okay.
So it's all of their smaller products run iOS.
Okay.
You know what routers are, right? Basically, it's what gets you on the interwebs. Hey, there was a time when nobody knew what a fucking router was, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 years ago. I know what a fucking router is. I play Halo.
Do you?
Yeah.
How do you get into your router?
With a screwdriver.
They're definitely not looking into your shit, man. They don't care what you're doing.
No, not at all.
This guy welds is what they just said. No, we're going to get nothing out of him.
They're like, yeah, he's pretty piss poor at being smart and everything else. Anything along there, he has intelligence. You know, we don't need nothing from this fucking guy. He's kind of an idiot.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, though, like, let's stop it right there for a second. If they were to spy on me, they're not getting anything useful. We do a conspiracy podcast here. Nothing that can, you know, no.
We're rebel rousers, so to speak, in their eyes.
I don't think the CIA is completely trying to get what we're trying to do here. We're like an information dissemination.
No, we're not an information.
We're not an information dissemination.
That's such a meme now. I can't even believe it. I'm never saying that again.
It's so good.
I'm never saying that again.
They're like, you guys are totally breaking through. It's some real good shit. And I'm like, no, you don't get what we're trying to do here, CIA.
We're not trying to break through anything, CIA.
Yeah, we just want the other people to
do
the
research.
All right,
let's stop talking about ourselves. It's
yeah,
horrible.
Okay, go ahead.
The CIA also runs a very substantial effort to infect and control Microsoft Windows users. This includes multiple local and remote weaponized zero-days, air-gap jumping viruses such as the hammer drill, which infects software distributed on CDs and DVDs.
We got a hammer drill at work.
You know what an air-gap is? So whenever a computer isn't on the internet, they got to find a way to still infect it. And they find ways to like infect software that's sent out on CD. They'll infect it before it goes out and use that to get into shit.
What the fuck?
There are so many pieces of software out there right now that are released in this release in the zero day or year zero release.
Right.
Anything from something innocuous like Notepad++, which is just a text editor. People use it for coding. You know, it's a free piece of software, but it's used by millions of people. So the CIA said, "The fuck, let's go ahead and build something into this so we can monitor the typing of millions of people."
I fucking hate the CIA. I fucking hate them, okay?
You know what? The CIA was great whenever all I thought they did was spy on other countries and give us an intelligence leg up.
Right.
Whenever
the CIA
they turn
was
those...
great when they're spying on everybody else. Turns out they're spying on us.
When the binoculars are
guys.
Pointed out across the ocean, that's fine. Whenever they turn those binoculars around and start looking across the plains, now we got an issue.
Baxter Brookie says air gap is the space between someone's teeth. That's actually called a diastema.
Huh. Interesting. Your wife... Is a professional in that area.
Not no mo.
Oh, man. Many of these infection efforts are pulled together by the CIA's automated implant branch, which has developed several attack systems for automated infestation and control of CIA malware, such as Assassin and Medusa, which are just two more pieces of software.
Those are just two more pieces of software?
Yeah.
I didn't
Hacking
know.
Tools, if you will. Attacks against the internet infrastructure and web servers are developed by the CIA's network services branch. The CIA has developed automated multi-platform malware attack and control systems covering Windows, Mac OS X, Solaris, which is a Unix platform, Linux, and more. such as EDB's hive and their related cutthroat.
Okay, so is that just like on Jurassic Park when she's like, it's Unix, and yeah. I know Unix, and she
that was just, such some bullshit there.
She just does
there's so
like,
many different flavors of Unix, just like Linux. There's like 100 different flavors of Linux, but they all started from the same code base and then forked off.
There's like 5 different flavors of Pepsi now too, because they brought back Pepsi Clear. Go ahead.
Moving on to the next section, it's titled CIA Hoarded Vulnerabilities 0 Days. In the wake of Edward Snowden's leaks about the NSA, the U.S. technology industry secured a commitment from the Obama administration that the executive...
Fuck Obama.
Pardon?
Nothing.
I thought you said something.
I didn't.
That the executive would, I guess executive branch, would disclose on an ongoing basis rather than hoard serious vulnerabilities and exploits, bugs or 0 days to Apple, Google, Microsoft, and other U.S.-based manufacturers. So there was a directive that said from Obama, and you're saying, I think you said fuck Obama there?
No, that wasn't what I said.
It wasn't you?
So what was, they're supposed to share these exploits is what you're telling me, right?
That was the directive.
Get but they're not.
They're not doing that.
They're not doing that.
Serious vulnerabilities not disclosed to the manufacturers places huge swaths of the population and critical infrastructure at risk to foreign intelligence or cyber criminals who independently discover or hear rumors of the vulnerability. If the CIA can discover such vulnerabilities, so can others. That's a good point. All it takes is the rumor that Windows has a vulnerability in this, you know, this section of it, this program has a way that if you know what you're doing, you can break into it. Just the thought that that exists is going to set people, you know, trying
to exploit.
It's
going to make them crazy. They're
going to go right at it and try to figure it out. Okay, the U.S. government's commitment to the vulnerabilities equities process came after significant lobbying by the U.S. technology companies, who risk losing their share of the global market over real and perceived hidden vulnerabilities. You get what that means?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, so these companies can lose all kinds of money, right? Because of these vulnerabilities. And that's why the government should disclose them to them. And if they're not disclosing them to them, they're costing these companies money.
Right. Just the existence of these could make people lose faith in the product.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, oh, you know, Androids aren't secure. Fuck that. I'm going with iOS now. You know, or something like that. Whatever, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, I want to get to it later. I don't know if we'll get to it today. We got a lot to go through. But the reviews of the CIA reviews of antivirus software saying like AVG has several ways to get in and McAfee's got several ways. And I loved what they said about Komodo. And I'm paraphrasing here. These paranoid bastards or something.
It said it was a colossal pain in the ass is what they said. Colossal pain in the derriere or rear end or something. But yeah.
Paranoid. I loved it. I love it.
Yeah.
That's who gets my seal of approval whenever the CIA calls you paranoid.
Yeah.
That's who I want for my virus software, and I'll be moving everybody over to Komodo. I already use them for my SSL certificates on my websites.
Do you?
I realize
Me too.
You don't know what that means. Sorry.
That's I use them too for the same exact thing. That's weird.
And I use them for my email certificates for encrypted email.
Me too.
I wonder if the CIA can unencrypt 2048-bit encryption for email.
I would think so. If they can crash your fucking car into a tree while you're driving it, I'm going to go with email's not a problem.
Get her done. That's what you sound like right now.
I'm going to go with email's not a problem. Ask Hillary about the emails.
She would know, huh?
Yeah, her. Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government's commitment to the vulnerability... Oh, I already read that.
Yes, you did.
Year Zero documents show that the CIA breached the Obama administration's commitments. Many of the vulnerabilities used in the CIA's cyber arsenal are pervasive, and some may already have been found to rival intelligence agencies or cybercriminals. Fuck you, man. And they may have already been found by rival intelligence agencies or cybercriminals. So CIA had them, could have exposed them to the manufacturers, and now there's a chance that other intelligence agencies like MI5 or the KGB, if that's still a thing, I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yep.
You sure?
Nope.
Okay. Or cyber criminals, such as, I guess you can say—
Mossad?
Maybe.
That's an intelligence agency.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As an example, specific CIA malware revealed in Year Zero is able to penetrate, infest, and control both the Android phone and iPhone software that runs or has the presidential Twitter accounts. So that's interesting.
Really?
Think about it. You got Twitter on your phone. Yeah. It can infect iPhone. It can infect Twitter.
Man. So that fucking Trump tweeting all the time, that could be a bad thing because they could get in on his phone, eh?
They could tweet for Trump and make him look dumb.
I don't think he needs help.
Oh, come on. Trump's the man. Man, something anyway. The CIA attacks this software by using undisclosed security vulnerabilities, 0 days, possessed by the CIA. But if the CIA can hack these phones, then so can everyone else who has obtained or discovered the vulnerability. As long as the CIA keeps these vulnerabilities concealed from Apple and Google, who make the phones, they will not be fixed, and the phones will remain hackable.
Yeah, that's fucked. They need to disclose that.
The same vulnerabilities exist for the population at large, including the U.S. Cabinet, Congress, top CEOs, system administrators, security officers, and engineers. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. My shit's all vulnerable. I have on my phone many passwords and stuff that could really... I'm taking everything off my phone. I'm breaking it.
Yeah.
I didn't think about
that. So what? You think Vault 7, I mean, this is no joke here, man. This is not bullshit. This right here... It's fucked because nobody, it seems like nobody cares that we're just completely in.
You know what we need to have?
No, there's no privacy. And it brings me to my next point. FBI Director James Coney made a few comments on Vault 7, on the WikiLeaks release of Vault 7. And this is what he had to say. It is now obvious that there is no such thing as absolute privacy in America. That's the director of the fucking FBI saying that. You know, I wonder who would win in a fight, the FBI or the CIA?
I don't know. CIA would probably poison them before the fight began.
Yeah, they'd hack them to find out all the vulnerabilities.
Before the FBI even knew they wanted to fight, they'd probably be dead.
Yep, that sucks, dude. Fuck the CIA.
All right, let's move on to the next level. I think we've got the Year Zero stuff on out of the way here. Mm-hmm. It says cyber warfare programs are a serious proliferation risk. Well, duh. Cyber weapons are not possible to keep under effective control. While nuclear proliferation has been restrained by the enormous cost and visible infrastructure involved in assembling enough fission material to produce a critical nuclear mass, cyber weapons, once developed, are very hard to retain. So what they're saying there is, it's so hard to fucking keep a nuke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to have a hell of a process to own a nuke, and the transport of nukes is all so, there's such a tight eye on it.
Oh, yeah.
But these malware tools, once they're created, all it takes is somebody to exploit a vulnerability in the system that you created it on to steal it. You know what I mean? It's hard to keep these things under control.
So you're saying our whole nuclear program could be at risk?
That's not what I'm saying at all. You're not listening.
Obviously, what are you saying?
I'm saying it's much easier to get these malware tools out and about than it is nuclear arms.
Okay.
I mean, that makes sense, obviously, but...
Yeah.
They're just as bad as nuclear arms. With these tools, you could theoretically cause meltdowns. Just like in the show 24. Did you ever watch 24? That was a documentary,
yeah, but
man.
But what do you mean, like, what part of 24? Because I only watched, like, the first two seasons.
I think it was, like, season six, maybe, where they got the hold of this program that can purposely melt down all these nuclear reactors, and they did end up melting down one or two.
What movie was that where they were talking about, he's going to fire the nukes? Well, he can't fire the nukes. But what if he detonates them in their silos, and it could cause, you know, mass...
I remember that, but I don't
remember. What movie was that where they were talking about detonating them in their silos here in the homeland?
Was it an X-Men movie?
Fuck, I can't remember, man.
I don't know. Moving on. Cyber weapons are, in fact, just computer programs which can be pirated like any other. That's what I was saying. Since they are entirely comprised of information, they can be copied quickly and with no marginal cost. Securing such weapons is particularly difficult, since the same people who develop and use them have the skills to exfiltrate copies without leaving traces, sometimes by using the very same weapons against the organizations that contain them. That's funny. There are substantial price incentives for government hackers and consultants to obtain copies, since there is a global vulnerability market that will pay hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars for copies of such weapons. That's interesting. It's like there's bounties. Yeah. The government will pay. You find it and don't sell it to one of the, you know, the hacking groups or another covert intelligence agency.
Or the manufacturer.
Yeah, we'll pay you.
I wonder if Apple does that. Like, if you find like a way into our phones and you let us know about it, we give you like $10,000.
I'm pretty sure they have a bounty program like that. I think
something
Google
like that.
Does too.
Google, yeah, I've heard Google does. But you know, and I'm gonna stop you right there for a second. I feel like that this is too not enough. Us more, we're reading off this paper too much, well, and it's not enough discussion.
I disagree. I mean, we're an information dissemination show, so I'm trying to disseminate information. And we're getting our back and forth in between for every part of it.
True. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see anybody in the chat bitching.
Well, that's because there's nothing to bitch about, because we're not talking about anything, you know, crazy.
You're right.
Anyway. You know, just cyber hacking.
All right, then going on. Let's see. Over the last 3 years, the United States intelligence sector, which consists of government agencies such as the CIA and the NSA and their contractors such as Booz Allen Hamilton, has been subject to unprecedented series of data exfiltrations by its own workers.
So that's where they're talking about. That's who WikiLeaks got this shit from. Was one
of people
these
who no longer work. They had the keys, left the company, and took the documents with them.
Like Snowden.
basically, whistleblowers.
Yes, whistleblowers.
A number of, I used to be so pissed at whistleblowers. I'm kind of starting to be.
Why? What the fuck could you have against a whistleblower?
I've always had a management type of thought. Like, I don't, like, if my business is trying to do something to make some fucking money, shut your fucking mouth. You know what I mean?
But right.
I'm kind of an asshole like that.
Yeah, well, that's, America's not a business. Yeah. Actually, a corporation.
Wrong.
Straw man. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
A number of intelligence community members not yet publicly named have been arrested or subject to federal criminal investigations in separate incidents.
Oh, well, now that's very promising.
Most visibly, on February 8th, 2017, a U.S. federal grand jury indicted Harold T. Martin III with 20 counts of mishandling classified information, a whistleblower.
Yes, exactly. They indicted his ass.
Yep. The Department of Justice alleges that it sees some 50,000 gigabytes. Damn, that's fucking 50.
That's a bunch, yeah.
Of information from Harold T. Martin III that he obtained from classified programs at the NSA and CIA, including the source code from numerous hacking tools. Once a single cyber weapon is loose, it can spread around the world in seconds to be used by peer states. Man, this thing repeats itself.
It does repeat. Yeah, that's what I was saying, you know. Oh, here's the next part. The next part's the interesting part.
I might go through this whole fucking thing today, honestly.
This was the part that you were hype on right here, the next part.
The U.S. consulate in Frankfurt is a covert CIA hacker base. Let me read that again. The U.S. consulate in Frankfurt.
Frankfurt where? Connecticut?
Germany. Over in Europe.
That'd be Kentucky anyway.
Yeah, Frankfurt.
Yeah, Frankfurt, Germany, yeah.
You fucking moron. Calm down, man. In addition to its operations in Langley, Virginia, the CIA also uses the U.S. consulate in Frankfurt as a covert base for its hackers, covering Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. CIA hackers operating out of the Frankfurt consulate, which is also known as the Center for Cyber Intelligence Europe, should have saw that coming.
Right.
Are given diplomatic, black passports, and State Department cover. The instructions for incoming CIA hackers make Germany's counterintelligence efforts appear inconsequential. Here's a quote from some of the stuff given to the CIA operatives. Breeze through German customs because you have your cover for action story down pat. And all they did was stamp your passport. So they're saying, you know your story so well. You got your black passport. You got nothing to worry about.
Okay, so this is like a Q&A, like what they're going to ask you. You know, your cover story for this trip. Why are you here? And then, you know, because you have your cover story down pat, you're going to be saying, supporting technical consultations at the consulate. So there's really no, like, red flags that go up, I mean, or anything like that, because it all sounds legit.
Oh, hired geek.
Yeah, right. Geek Squad, oh, come on in. You know, I mean, it sounds legit.
Two earlier WikiLeaks publications give further detail on CIA approaches to customs and secondary screening procedures. Once in Frankfurt, CIA hackers can travel without further border checks to the 25 European countries that are part of the Schengen open border area, including France, Italy, and Switzerland. A couple big players there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting a phone call, looks like. Hold on.
Yeah, we don't do phone calls during the podcast, though.
No, we don't. It's my dad probably wishing me happy birthday. I'll call him back in a few minutes. Okay, back to our text.
You could have answered it and been like, yeah, we're live on air right now, and you're shitting all over me. What do you need?
That's mean. A number of the CIA's electronic attack methods are designed for physical proximity. These attack methods are able to penetrate high-security networks that are disconnected from the Internet, such as police record databases. In these cases, a CIA officer, agent, or allied intelligence officer acting under instructions physically infiltrates the targeted workplace. The attacker, this is just like the plot to Mission Impossible 1.
Pretty much.
The attacker is provided with a USB containing malware developed for the CIA for this purpose. So they'll give them basically a thumb drive with a tool specifically designed for the place they're going. Say, stick it in, man, and then wait. And then all the data will be on there, and then we'll leave.
Yeah, that's...
It's just like out of the movies.
It is.
For this purpose, which is inserted in the targeting computer. The attacker then infects an... Oh my God. This is why we don't do the information dissemination, because we can't read.
Yeah, we're just not very good at
the reading. The attacker then infects and exfiltrates data to removable media. For example, the CIA attack system Fine Dining provides 24 decoy applications for CIA spies to use. To witnesses, the spy appears to be running a program showing videos like VLC or presenting slides using the program Prezi, for instance, or playing a computer game like Breakout, or even running a fake virus scanner. But while the decoy application is on screen, the underlying system is automatically infected and ransacked. That's fucking great. So they plug this in. It automatically makes it look like legit tools come on the screen. So they're sitting there plugging away, running virus checks, watching a video, doing whatever.
Right.
But that's just decoy. In the background, it's going, give me your data, give me your data, give me your data.
Sons of bitches, man. And that's... So it'll show up like McAfee on the screen, yeah. Like antivirus.
There's,
oh, yeah, everything's really good.
Pretty safe.
Nice, legit.
Nothing
here.
To see. Nothing to see here. Yeah, move along.
Moving right along. Fuckers.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. And this is just like in the movies. Yeah, I mean, dude, 100% this, how you would see it in the movies.
Everything that's in here is fucked, man. Like, this is Orwellian. This is 1984 right here.
Well, I don't mind it for other agencies. If they're over there doing it in Europe, I'm going to be a little bit hypocritical here and say, collect that info. Get that data. Win,
no.
win, America. Come on, it's America, man.
No.
It's America.
No.
America? No?
No.
Okay. How much further do you want to go today? I got a little bit of time. We can keep going. We might be able to finish this and then do some different next week, I guess.
We got three more pages on the first half.
Oh, is that what it is? Three more on the first half. Okay, let's see where we get.
All right, let's do this.
The next subsection is titled, How the CIA Dramatically Increased Proliferation Risks. In what is surely one of the most astounding intelligence own goals in living memory, the CIA instructed its classification regime such that for the most market valuable part of Vault 7, the CIA's weaponized malware, the agency has little legal recourse. That doesn't make sense at all. And what is surely one of the most astounding intelligence own goals... Yeah, I'm skipping that because that's a dumb sentence and it doesn't make sense.
No, it does. It's saying that they have little legal recourse. So that,
well, I mean, obviously they can't sue somebody for, you know, releasing their illegal tools anyway.
But can you sue the CIA?
Can a CIA sue
Can a CIA is the CIA sueable? Can I sue the CIA?
I would think so. If they violate your rights.
Well, what the fuck?
Well, if you can prove they violated your rights.
WikiLeaks just did that for us.
They didn't prove a specific example of your specific rights being violated. That's my point.
Okay, I withdraw.
You could have class action, but then prove your class action. Just because we have the tools doesn't mean we've used them.
You know any lawyers?
No, I actually do know a lot of lawyers, actually. A shit ton of lawyers.
So we can get one of them on this class action thing. Started on Monday. We could get some money.
Yeah, there's a thought. Why the CIA chose to make its cyber arsenal unclassified reveals how concepts developed for military use do not easily cross over into the battlefield for cyber war. To attack its targets, the CIA usually requires that its implants communicate with their control programs over the internet. If CIA implants, command and control, and listening post software were classified, then CIA officers could be prosecuted or dismissed for violating rules that prohibit place classified system information on the internet. So they're saying they got a way out, it sounds like to me. If one of their agents put that out on the internet, they could have them fired or prosecute them, and then it's not the CIA's fault.
So, war on whistleblowers?
Pretty much.
There you go.
Consequently, the CIA has secretly made most of its cyber spying and war code unclassified. I wonder why I did that. The U.S. government is not able to assert copyright either due to restrictions in the U.S. Constitution. That means that cyber arms manufacturers and computer hackers can freely pirate these weapons if they are obtained. I don't think they give a fuck anyway if the government made them or not.
No, I don't think
people download fucking Star Wars off the internet, they're going to download the hacker tools. You know what I mean?
Right.
Goddamn CIA.
What's obfuscation mean?
Obfuscate. To cover. To make hard to see.
Okay.
To hide. Like my phone. I'm trying to obfuscate my phone right now. Check it out.
I'm not retarded.
Well, nobody on the video can see this. What I'm doing is placing my hand over my phone, trying to make it so he
making
can see
me
it.
Feel like an idiot is what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen.
You asked me what obfuscate means, you retard.
Oh, so because I got a question, I'm retarded now.
Yeah, about a simple vocabulary word.
Yeah?
Over the last decade, U.S. hacking operations have been increasingly dressed up in military jargon to tap into Department of Defense funding streams. Smart. For instance, attempted malware injections or implant drops are being called fires as if a weapon was being fired. However, the analogy is questionable. So they're calling what they're doing like, yeah, this is a real weapon, so
assholes.
Give us some money for it.
Yeah, assholes, man.
Unlike bullets, bombs, or missiles, most CIA malware is designed to live for days or even years after it's reached its target. CIA malware does not explode on impact, but rather permanently infest its target. Doy. In order to infect a target's device, copies of the malware must be placed on the target's devices, giving physical possession of the malware to the target. To exfiltrate data back to the CIA or wait for... Okay, you know what that's saying? It's saying after they've infected you, they done fucked up. Because now that exploit that they've used, there's proof of it, and now they can give that proof of that exploit. Like, say they bugged your phone.
Yeah.
your phone's now bugged if somebody in the hacker circle was, you know, was able to get your phone.
So it's already bugged. Just because a guy bugged it a year ago, now it's bugged. It can be accessed.
And if nobody knew about it and a guy picked up this phone and was like looking around for what's going on your phone, holy shit, I didn't know you could do that.
That's all bad news.
Yeah. Where are we going here? In order to infect target devices, copies of the malware. Okay, send that. Moving on. The expert tape, this is horrible. But such servers are typically not approved to hold classified information, so CIA command and control systems are also made unclassified.
Short and simple?
Yeah, I'm having trouble about that. I guess to avoid getting in trouble for having all these classified weapons like this, they just make them they put them on unclassified servers and don't tell anybody about them.
How does that make you not get in trouble?
Well, it's not classified. You could look if you knew where to look.
That sucks. So wait a minute. So technically, the Freedom of Information Act, you could request this stuff, right? Because it's not classified.
I mean, that's
and anything not classified is covered under the Freedom of Information Act, right?
Apparently,
you don't know that for sure, do you?
I don't know. I'm gonna ask.
I don't either.
A successful attack on a target's computer system is more like a series of complex stock maneuvers in a hostile takeover bid, or careful planting of rumors in order to gain control over an organization's leadership, rather than the firing of a weapon system. So they're just saying that hacking is like the long con.
Yeah.
You know, you bide your time, you get in on the little parts, and build up your back door. It is like if there is a military analogy to be made, the infestation of a target is perhaps akin to the execution of a whole series of military maneuvers against the target's territory, including observation, infiltration, occupation, and exploitation. So that makes sense. You got to target what computers you want to attack.
Observe them.
You got to figure out.
Infiltrate them, occupy them, and
exactly.
Exploit them.
Yep. Perfect sense. That's not a hard one for you. Are we halfway through?
Yeah. Close. We got evading forensics and antivirus.
Oh, okay, good. I wanted to do this one. A series of standards lay out CIA malware infestation patterns, which are likely to assist forensic crime scene investigators, as well as Apple, Microsoft, Google, Samsung, Nokia, BlackBerry, Siemens, and Siemens? You never heard of them?
Oh, yeah.
And antivirus companies to attribute and defend against attacks.
Did you know 20 of the most common antivirus programs, according to this, can just be just bypassed?
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, just completely bypassed.
Tradecraft do's and don'ts contain CIA rules on how its malware should be written to avoid fingerprints implicating the CIA, U.S. government, or its witting partner companies in forensic review. So you know what that means?
Yeah, let me stop you right there. What that means is that they're making these tools specifically so that it doesn't come back as CIA hacking.
Use none of our fingerprints, none of our tools to make it seem like it's something.
Okay, so if that doesn't tell you shady right off the bat, like something's fucked here because we don't want them to know it was actually us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're up to shady shit when they're trying to cover it. If you're trying to cover your tracks, there's a fucking reason for it. Because you're not doing something right, it's illegal, it's immoral, it's wrong, something. Why would you need to cover your tracks for that shit?
It's a good question. Did you hear about Umbridge? There's a program they got called Umbridge.
Yeah, I've got it.
Well, it's actually a library. So they know how, okay, so in the same way they tell their hackers not to leave any fingerprints.
Right.
They have analyzed the techniques of other countries and governments and other organizations to find out what their fingerprints are.
Right.
And they will leave fingerprints of other organizations in their tools to make it seem like it was like a Russian tool.
Oh, you mean like Russia hacked the election?
That's
and
exactly
really,
right.
Really wasn't
in my
them?
Original notes for this show. I have it listed under the 2012 French election that Umbridge was used to make it look like somebody else did it.
Damn,
so the same exact thing could have been done for this election.
Yeah, it's fucked, man. That is fucked. That means this. That means everybody's talking about now Trump and Russia, they're all together, and Russia hacked the fucking election, and it's their fault that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's not even the case. The CIA manipulated our elections just the same as they did in France's elections in 2012.
Which is interesting because you got to figure, if the CIA did that, all you hear about right now is the CIA is against Trump.
Yeah.
So why would a CIA that is against Trump hack the election for Trump?
Who said they hacked it for Trump?
Trump won.
Right, but all they did was basically put out there that
if they're bothering, they would have made sure. Is my point.
They did was put out there that Russians were involved in the election, that they were compromising our election, that they're meddling.
Though?
They didn't say
just
to what
for unrest, just to give Donald Trump a small black eye.
Well, no, it's to paint a picture. To paint the picture that Trump and Putin
they're starting
are,
to paint
are
the picture,
yeah, exactly.
They're playing the long con here, but
the long con for
why
sure.
Why bother? Why bother? Whenever you in a place like with a facility like WikiLeaks that exists, just give the information to them and blow it all out of the water. You know what I mean? If you're such a pissed off person or group that wants there to be the long con to make it look like a whole, you know, a whole thing, why not just come out and say what you're trying to say?
Right.
I don't know. Where are we at here?
We are at the top of our week two page. CIA hackers developed successful attacks against most well-known antivirus programs. These are documented in the AV defeats. Oh, yeah, that's just all. Okay, so for example, Komodo was defeated by CIA malware placing itself in the Windows recycle bin.
Oh, interesting. So apparently Komodo, which is the one
we were talking about,
where they're paranoid, they defeated that by running the virus from your trash bin, from your recycling bin. It's checking everywhere but the trash. Not that paranoid.
Right, no shit. Equation group hackers did run on CIA malware. Markers could avoid similar exposure. What do you want to do here? Do you want to stop and kind of just break up? Because we're about half through right now.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
And see, so what we've got next, we got all the examples. It'll be a good show for next week, too. We got all the examples and then a lot of frequently asked questions, and we should probably take questions next week.
That sounds good. In fact, if you got questions before next week that you want to specifically look into,
put them in the
email Eric at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com or put them in the group.
Put them in a can Dress you pin a post on the group and add questions that you would
I
like
could,
answered.
But as soon as I pin a post, it unpins that one where everybody's from the poll.
Oh, really?
Then I'll lose it because it's like a month and a half old and it's just gone. It's gone down
sucks.
The line.
Can you pin it on the Facebook page?
No, I'll just fuck that one. We got it.
Okay. So you'll pin a post with. So if you have any questions, if you're listening to this week's show, or if you catch it on the podcast Monday, right, and you really have some interesting questions for us, or some stuff that you want to know about this Vault 7, leave it in the pin post, and we will directly address all of your questions next week on our conclusion
Vault
of the Vault 7 show.
Year Zero, Part Due.
Due.
Due. Thanks. I want to thank everybody on the chat for showing up today on our non-standard time and day. Well, standard time, non-standard day, Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Same bat day. No, same bat time, different bat day.
Same bat channel, too.
And same bat channel, for sure.
Different bat day. I want to say thank you to anybody out there who wished me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's been pretty good so far. I was a little sick this morning, which was a bummer, but I'm feeling good now. The wife and I are taking our daughter out to Outback this evening for some fun family dinner.
What are you going to get? You're going to get that brown bread?
Oh, I love that. The pumpernickel bread?
Yeah, that's not so bad. Good. Do they bring the butter and a knife?
I'm going to get me a Bloomin' Burger.
A what?
Bloomin' Burger. It's like a big cheeseburger with Bloomin' Onion on it.
Oh, you like onions now?
Yeah, onions in moderation.
Right.
So anybody not listening, he doesn't know what he's talking about. As a kid, I hated onions.
He didn't just hate onions. He bitched every time mom made something with onions. It was like, I don't want fucking onions in the spaghetti because the fucking onions are bad. Like, so wait, now we got to have shit tasting spaghetti because you don't like fucking onions? Bullshit. Now this guy wants to grow up and be like, oh, I like onions. They're so fucking good. And I've ate onions my entire life. You're jumping on the bandwagon and I'm going to have none of it. I'm calling you out.
All right, Seth asks, how do we even fight back against this shit?
How do we fight back against this shit?
Basically, make sure you're not on the internet.
Resistance.
Resistance is futile. Seems like.
Yeah, right. I mean,
basically, the only way to
CIA
fight back
is
not
the
be
board.
Important. Don't be important.
Don't be important. But that sucks because we need important people, especially to lead the resistance.
It's hard to say, though, because if you've got information they want, they'll get it.
Scott Seeger says, here's how you get it. Post enough fake stuff to always keep them guessing.
There's plenty of fake shit going
That's a
on.
Pretty good one.
I wonder, you know, if the whole fake news thing is actually a government.
Hey, man, CNN is fucked. I used to think Fox News was the most agenda-driven news network that there was, but I don't. And I'm not just saying that because Trump called him out and said, you're fake news. No, CNN is the most agenda-driven news network, in my humble opinion, that there is.
I have no...
InfoWars maybe... Close second, maybe right on top of that, though.
No, Seth, I'm not saying quit listening. Stay connected to the internet enough to keep listening to us. Maybe we'll just start mailing out our show on CD every week. Keep the government out of it.
Because they remember that all they got to do is know what CDs we're using. They'll get to them before we get to the store. They'll install the malware in the CDs so we can be offline. You just said this earlier. Are you not paying attention to what you're talking about?
See, that's what I'm saying. They will find a way.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think he works for the CIA. He's trying to get it out here so that we can... He wants them to have your information, so that's why he's suggesting this. I don't fucking know what his deal is. I think when we get him outside, I'll probably whip his ass and take his phone and see what he's got on there. To make sure that there's... You know, he doesn't work
good
for
me. Good luck. All right. That's all I got for this week.
Yeah, that's it, man. Vault 7 is a motherfucker. Vault 7 is a motherfucker.
I said it on the group a few weeks back whenever I first saw that they released it. To anyone I've ever accused of being paranoid or just
let me have
thinking
that.
They're out to get
go
you.
Go ahead and address me directly.
I'm sorry. They are apparently looking into what they shouldn't be.
Huh.
And I was wrong.
Wow, what do you know?
Huh. It's now here in perpetuity for all time.
You're not paranoid if they're really out to get you.
No, you're still probably paranoid, but apparently they are out to get you.
But it's justified. They are out to get you, yeah. So before you even started the whole conspiracy show
Baxter
thing,
says send it via carrier pigeon. That's not bad. They used to call SneakerNet whenever instead of using network, you just put it on a floppy disk and walk it across the room.
What'd they call that?
SneakerNet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
It worked.
Neither of us two have ever gone for an hour. What's that supposed to mean?
Was that a sex thing, Scott? I think he's trying to be cute. Scott, we're going to stab you, I've decided. Next time you try to come after Eric, I'm going to pretend to be involved, and then we're going to take you out.
Yeah,
nobody messes with the Surreal Talk crew. Just saying. Anyway.
So what I was going to say, hang on, one more time.
We keep doing this.
One more point. So a year ago, did you think things like this were happening? A year ago, no.
What would you have said
to someone on the street
a year ago? Right around this time a year ago, we were actually just figuring out that we were going to be doing the show. Did you know that?
I did. April 4th or something was our first show.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
No, I was, in fact...
If I said, think the about the first Pizzagate episode, on you, man.
About the first Pizzagate episode we did.
Yeah.
Everything you would have said about the government spying on us, I would have had the same attitude as I had on the first Pizzagate episode. I would have said, you're fucking crazy. Shut up. And you're fucking crazy.
But what do you say now?
Well, after this leak by WikiLeaks, I got to say, you're fucking crazy. You're fucking crazy, but I believe you.
But I believe you. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're not crazy, but yeah, you're right.
Yep. All right, let's put an end to it. This has been a lineupmedia.fm production. If you're looking for any cool podcasts out there, check lineupmedia.fm. We got a shit ton of good casts on the network, from sports related stuff to allergy related podcast to
there's even this wrestling one that I've heard about.
Yeah, my other podcast we're gonna be shut up. The Three Horsemen show. We do a lot of
I just give you shit.
We do two shows a week, one on what's going on currently in wrestling, pro wrestling. I don't know much about in current pro wrestling, but the second half of the show we do all old school.
He's like, that's all me.
And we do a cool topic every week. But right now we're doing something kind of cool. We're doing a March Madness for old school wrestlers who never won a major world championship. So we've got 64 wrestlers who never won the world title. We've seeded them all out, best to worst, and we've got them in a perfectly good format for a tournament.
Really?
And we've got it on Twitter right now, where you can go to our Twitter page, and we've got polls up for every single match. And we're letting our listeners go on, vote on the polls, and that goes to round two. Then when round two starts, we'll post all these new Twitter polls up, and we'll go through the whole thing that way, and we'll let our audience crown what we are calling the Three Horsemen Show People's Champ.
People's Champ.
They have never won the title, and we are giving them the title.
You're giving it to them.
That's right. We're booking our own champs.
Right.
So lineupmedia.fm, check it out for all kinds of cool other podcasts.
Also, please email us with any suggestions, comments at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com or
info@surrealtalkpodcast.com.
Yeah, also go to www.surrealtalkpodcast.com, vote in the poll, vote Team Everett or Team Eric. It's probably going to be Team Eric, but if you vote for him, I won't hate on you.
Well, I mean, you could say it's probably going to be, but you're losing by one right now. 78.
Am I losing by one? Let's
take a
look.
Surrealtalkpodcast.com. Oh, while you're there, while I'm here, I might order something on Amazon. Oh, it's tight as shit right now. 78-79. I'm winning.
Scott Sears just changed to Team Eric in the chat. So.
That's fine. Damn it. So. I guess now I'm the one that's going to be killed. And you won't have any sense of virgins to get killing me, will you?
I'm missing my meme this week is what I'm missing. I hope he comes through with something good.
Truffle shuffle? Do the truffle shuffle real quick. I'll meme it out.
No, I don't want to do the truffle shuffle.
All right. Anyway. Catch us again next week. We're going to finish up on the Vault 7 stuff.
Leave a review.
Week after that, we're going to do an interesting show while we're...
The week after that should be a good one.
We've got the topic figured out. We don't really want to blow the lid off of this one just yet. It wouldn't be a good idea. legally.
No.
To say what we're doing the show on in 2 weeks.
We're not going to blow the lid off of this one just
Something
yet.
Else will get blown maybe, but.
Really, and be honest with you, we ought to save that podcast for 30 days after I get back, and then we'll upload it.
We'll just get ahead of it.
Right.
Fuck it. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll catch you all next week. We's out.
This has been Eric and Everett for Surreal Talk.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.